By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service under the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Here is the remedy for eliminating all inauspicious sins within the heart, which are considered to be obstacles in the path of self-realization. The remedy is the association of the Bhagavatas. There are two types of Bhagavats, namely the book Bhagavat and the devotee Bhagavat. Both the Bhagavats are competent remedies, and both of them, or either of them, can be good enough to eliminate the obstacles. A devotee Bhagavat is as good as a book Bhagavat because the devotee Bhagavat leads his life in terms of the book Bhagavat, and the book Bhagavat is full of information. about the personality of Godhead and his pure devotees, who are also Bhagavatas. Bhagavat book and person are identical. The devotee Bhagavat is a direct representative of Bhagavad, the personality of Godhead. So by pleasing the devotee Bhagavat, one can receive the benefit of the Bhagavat. Human reason fails to understand how, by serving the devotee Bhagavat or the book Bhagavat, one gets gradual promotion on the path of devotion. But actually, these are facts explained by Srila Narada Dev, who happened to be a maidservant's son in a previous life. The maidservant was engaged in the menial service of the sages, and thus he also came into contact with them. And simply by associating with them and accepting the remnants of foodstuff left by the sages, the son of the maidservant got the chance to become the great devotee and personality of Srila Narada. These are the miraculous effects of the association of Bhagavatas. And to understand these effects practically, it should be noted that by such sincere association of the Bhagavats, one is sure to receive transcendental knowledge very easily, with the result that he becomes fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. The more progress is made in devotional service under the guidance of the Bhagavats, the more one becomes fixed in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The messages of the book Bhagavat, therefore, have to be received from the devotee Bhagavat, and the combination of these two Bhagavats will help the neophyte devotee to make progress on and on. So if one verse says it all about how to advance in Krishna consciousness, this is it. It's giving us the real remedy for our situation here in the material world. After Mangaratik, we heard a really nice description of the miseries of the material world and how it is a big obstacle in anyone's life, especially the devotee's life. We can still be very foggy-headed. We can actually walk around and still know not exactly what to do and what not to do. It's that heavy of darkness that's in this age that we can be so illusioned even on this path that we're ensuing. So here it's been diagnosed that we have a heart disease. This is a chronic situation that's been lingering within our consciousness, passed on from lifetime to lifetime, and we can't seem to shake it. It happened when we decided to leave Krishna and think that we can enjoy, just like we heard just a couple minutes ago about this enjoying spirit that we all have, that we really need to knock out. Because from that, just that heart disease comes the lust and the anger and the greed and all these nasty things that are in our heart that we really are uncomfortable carrying around with us. It takes up a lot of room in our heart, and it's not a nice feeling. And what happens is that you're very highly susceptible to commit offenses, which is very deterring, a big obstacle in itself, because from those offenses, then you begin to lose your taste, your higher taste. And then from there, your desires, old desires, they pop up, and the old habits come back, and then goodbye, for who knows how long. So these are the inauspicious things that are described here in the Bhagavad. Things that we really don't want. But the remedy is there, and we are very fortunate that it's nicely described here, that there are two remedies. You can take one or two or both or a combination, whatever you like, because they're all very potent. They're all Krishna. The Bhagavat is more brilliant than the sun. It is Krishna. And fortunately, we have all these volumes right here in our midst, and they're all over the world now, taking precedence and giving this highest knowledge, which is Krishna. So the Bhagavat is non-different than the Supreme Lord. And the other Bhagavat is the personality of Bhagavat, who is inseminating this knowledge upon us. And who is actually living the Bhagavatam, who can actually instill with us a desire to keep on that path, despite our shortcomings, which we have many of. So this medicine is very, very potent, but you have to follow the label, the instructions on the label. And here it's describing that the very first thing is that you have to have a regular attendance in the Bhagavat class. Not just hearing the Bhagavatam on your own. That's very wonderful, it's very potent, but attending classes, hearing the classes, discussing this katha that is given through the lips of the pure devotee. There's special benefit that we can ensue. So this is very, very important. And not only that we just listen regularly, but also that we act on it. We actually become a living Bhagavat ourselves, which is not impossible. Prabhupada was encouraging us to become stars and moons, and to be brilliant also, like the Bhagavatam. So we see that medicine usually is somewhat candy-coated. So Lord Chaitanya, he dipped it into this Harinam Sankirtan, so it's very sweet. We all like to sing and dance and take prasadam and have festivals and enjoy association with Krishna consciousness. So yes, it's made very, very wonderful. But usually with medicine, there's a little aftertaste that's kind of bitter. And so this bitterness is actually that we have to surrender. We can't avoid that. You know, it's said that Lord Krishna came here and demanded surrender, but Lord Chaitanya candy-coated, but also we need to surrender. We need to surrender to Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, because this is how we show how to live Bhagavat and how to spread this Bhagavatam, is by glorifying Krishna. So this is the surrender that Prabhupada wants us all to do, is to engage somehow or other in supporting and taking part in this Sankirtan movement. But unfortunately, we sometimes have a problem with that. And although it's so wonderful, we sometimes lose our taste even for Harinam. Just like the other day, it was Saturday football game, and I was thinking, okay, I was calculating in my mind, I don't really think I'm gonna go this time. Because I went last night, it was raining, there were only four of us, we were chanting by ourselves. And then I went weekend before, all the way to Jackson, spent all that time. So I was in my mind calculating how I didn't really need to go on the Harinam Sankirtan. So then I thought, okay, I'm good. I decided not to go. And then I get a phone call. Richard calls me up, goes, hey, you're going on Harinam? Yeah, you're going to. And I go, oh, well, actually, I'm kind of deciding not to go. I said, I guess I'm in Maya. I think you need to preach to me. So she said, She goes, Lord Chaitanya is calling. He's calling you. I go, okay, I'll meet you in the parking lot. So this is what we have to do to ourselves. We have to keep in that fire because it's very healthy. It's so healthy us to breathe and relish this Bhagavatam by giving it out to others. So we can't avoid surrendering to this Sankirtan movement. It's what we need. It's that remedy that we really need deep down in our hearts. I remember the first time I heard from the Bhagavatam, I'd only been a devotee maybe a day or something like that, and they had Prabhupada's original, brown book, brown covered books, and there was only like one in the temple. And so it was a passing of Bhishma Deva, I remember, and they were discussing that, and I was thinking, wow, this is pretty far out stuff, This is, who are these personalities? What's going on here? And it made an appetite, that you wanted to hear more and more. And then as you hear more and more of the philosophy behind all the wonderful stories and everything, then you go, how can I challenge this? I mean, there's nothing more that I could learn about the supreme personality of God that's in these books. And little did I know that there were so many volumes and so much more knowledge than you could ever imagine. So this is, there's something for everyone in the Bhagavatam. If you're looking for adventure, just think of the incarnations, the 10 incarnations, the adventures that are in those incarnations. It's amazing. I mean, it fills up so many of the chapters of Bhagavatam. It's exciting to hear all these incarnations. What less all the fights and the different things going on. And then, of course, there's science. Just a few nights ago or a couple weeks ago, we had all the scientists here saying, oh, from the fifth canto this and from this canto that and the Bhagavatam and this Veda scripture and that. Science is pouring out of the Bhagavatam. So those who have a fancy for that, it's totally satisfied. You can find everything way beyond what the scientists even have a little teeny glimpse of. So, and then, of course, romance, intrigue. I'm sure in your mind you're thinking of all the romance, the kidnapping of the different wives, and the, you know, and then in Draupadi with the five wives, and then there's the, it's just, you know, an intrigue, the palace intrigue, things going on, and brothers fighting, and family, and it's something for everybody. And it's very satisfying to hear about our family, about Krishna's family, and about this whole society, spiritual society. And I remember that when I first joined, they only read the Bhagavatam, I think, 2 or 3 days a week, like Monday and Wednesday and Saturday or something like that. And so, you know, your appetite was like, okay, well, come on, more, more. And then I went to Los Angeles after a few weeks, and it was just when they were starting to, Prabhupada was there, and he was saying that you should write the verse on a board. And so the next day, out came a board, you know, with a chalkboard, and that's when we started repeating the verses and actually having Bhagavatam class every day, which was, of course, pure nectar with Srila Prabhupada there giving classes. We would be in the kitchen rolling chapatis or something like that, and I guess we even had a radio in those days because we could hear in the kitchen. But after class, we would examine each other. So, what did Prabhupada say? Tell me something you said. Tell you something you said. It was like fuel. We had to like get fired up because we had so much service to do. You know, 10 hours a day chanting on the streets, what less all the other service. So this was our fuel. And you hear, this is a fuel for the sages. Thousands of years ago, they're getting fired up here in the Bhagavatam. And here, 5,000 years later, we're still hearing this Bhagavatam and getting inspired to worship and glorify God. And Prabhupada was very happy when the children were in the classes, even if they're coloring or whatever they were doing, or playing with their sweater over there or whatever. You hear that knowledge. I think Pran Govinda was saying how Prabhupada was saying to his spiritual master that I don't know that I understand everything you're saying. It doesn't really matter. You hear it. It goes deep inside. We used to have the ashram in here, and half the time the girls were, you know, they were goofing around or something, you know. But we'd go home, and all of a sudden we'd say something. They'd go, oh, well, in class they said this. In class they said that. And I was like amazed they were actually listening. So it has a great effect, even if we don't understand all of it. And we can learn something from every Bhagavatam speaker. Because it's very, very powerful in its own words. So our challenge is to be able to listen attentively. So this is something that we all have to work on. I can't remember how many times in Los Angeles people would be going, trying to keep awake while Papa was speaking, you know. People behind, you can see Ramachar going like this, almost leaning over on Prabhupada over the Vyasa-san. Because we worked so hard, but we wanted to stay awake because we didn't want to miss a word of it. So, and of course, not just attentively, but also submissively. Taking this knowledge in and realizing that we have to do something with it. We have to act on it. We have to become an example for others of how to be a nice devotee, a submissive devotee of Srila Prabhupada. Because in our hearts, we've got stored all these infectious diseases inside. It's within our hearts. So we have to shove that aside, and we can only do that by replacing, by pulling in all this knowledge And then gradually, as it says here, gradually it will be destroyed. It will go out, almost to nil. Although some will be there, but at least in this lifetime, we still have some years left in us where we can keep putting more in and hoping that it will stay. And so this combination of the book Bhagavad and person Bhagavad, it gives us relief from this miserable material world. And we should realize that Śrīla Prabhupāda is not ordinary, that the pure devotee is not an ordinary person. I remember a reporter coming and asking, I think Prabhupada had commented that that ultimately we can see God face to face. And the reporter challenged and said, so? He said, so are you seeing God face to face? And so all the devotees are thinking, oh, what's Prabhupada going to say? You know? And he said, yes. And the devotees are like, yeah, Prabhupada. And so the reporter said, so? Is he sitting in your heart or is he lying down? And Prabhupada closed his eyes. I think he said lying down. So we're thinking, yes, this is a pure devotee. He's really seeing Krishna, and we have him as our spiritual master. And that's why these books are so so important to deliver other people. Definitely not an ordinary experience. There are two ways to experience things, and that is from seeing and from hearing. I was at a diversity fair with Rasamrita the other day at Santa Fe, and there was a Christian, all the different religions were set up at the table, and one Christian young boy came over, and we were talking to him, and he gave us a piece of paper, and it had like designs all on it, kind of pretty looking designs, and he gave it to Rasamrita. He says, what do you see? And so she knew how to do this thing, where it doesn't look like anything, but you somehow or other you see Jesus there. You see, he says, can you see? And she says, oh yes, I can see Jesus. I can see the animals. I can see this. I looked at it and said, I can't see anything. I said, well, you got to do this and you got to do that. You had a different way. Moksha had a different way of how to hold it so you could see it. I never got it. But anyway, so seeing is kind of iffy, because I can see something and you can see something different. I might miss something, and our senses are imperfect. So better to go with hearing. You get a better understanding from Śrīla Prabhupāda from reading these books. And I was just hearing last night, Prabhupāda was, it must have been 1966, because he was still saying, you heard the other day in Dr. Mishra, so it must have been in the very, very early days. And he was saying how in the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita that it's telling you to surrender to a hum, to me. But he says, he went on forever about saying, it says Krishna's saying to surrender to me, but so-and-so is saying something different. So it's important to hear from the lips of the pure devotee, and then it will have effect. So the most important thing is we do hear from the authorized scripture and from the authorized representative. And then we can have a proper understanding. Because Prabhupada was saying that I couldn't recommend any other Bhagavad Gita. So this was the first time he was reading from his Macmillan edition. He was saying, so therefore, that's why I've decided to write these books. This time of year is a great time for pilgrimage in Vrindavan and all the holy places. And when you go to, let's say, the Talavan Forest, you go there and you look around and like there's nothing there really. And there might still be one tall tree there, I'm not sure. When I went there about 10 years ago, there was one, my husband pointed out, well, there's one tree there. And so you don't really see anything. You go to many pilgrimage places and you don't see anything there. You go to where Dhruva Maharaj did his meditation. There's like a little bump in the ground. So you sit down, you hear the pastimes, and then it comes to life, and all the everything, you know, gets colorful, and then you see the sages there, and you see the Krishna Balaram, you know, swinging those donkeys around and everything. And so this is so much better is to to hear from the devotees or the Bhagavatam, and then it can make a great effect on our lives. And also the importance of hearing our japa. The sixth Goswami said that, that I think it's Sanatana Goswami that said, just the two syllables, Krishna, is a flood of nectar. Just those two syllables. And he was wishing he had millions of tongues, millions of ears to hear this. Because all the Bhagavatam is, and all of Krishna is all in the, those holy names. So this is also something we should consider in chanting our japa, that we hear all those syllables. We don't miss anything of Krishna. It's all there. And we have to, our ears should become, you know, like big scoops, trying to, you know, to hear it all and not to be distracted. So kirtan and japa, we have a great opportunity, and next week we get to hear 20 hours or more of kirtan, or I don't know how many hours it is altogether, but it's a great way to practice hearing and see how much we can remember Krishna, which gives us the greatest satisfaction. If anyone's ever had a job before, or even in Krishna consciousness, if one has a position, let's say I have first initiation, I'm hankering, oh, when am I going to get second initiation, right? Or if I'm dressing the little deities, oh, when am I going to get to dress the big deities? Or materialists, of course, they're always wanting to go up the scale, to be promoted. So I was asked recently to write a recommendation for someone to get second initiation. So this makes an effect. If you want to get promoted, not only have to be qualified, but it makes a big difference if you've got some nice recommendations there, right? So here we can understand that by serving the Bhagavat, both Bhagavats, we're getting a recommendation by Srila Prabhupada. By serving him, he will help us get promoted. Here's describing that there's a gradual promotion. If we can just serve these devotees, all the devotees, every devotee in this room, if we can just serve them, then we get recommended by Krishna. He's so pleased that he gradually will give you revelations of who he is. So this is something that we have to realize, because it's an important thing if we really want to advance. There is a gradual promotion for those who are sincere and trying to serve the devotees, just like this example of Narada Muni. He was just a little boy, and he was his mother was around, and he was hanging around, and they were serving the sages, probably, you know, cleaning up after their leaf plates or something like that, and he actually asked permission, can I take some of your remnants, which was a very nice thing to do. I know I've been at many women's groups, and we have prasadam after words, and all of a sudden this hand comes by, takes up my plate, you know, and eats it right in front of you. You go, oh my God, I don't do that. And someone else steals something off your plate. But it's nice that you ask permission, can I have your remnants? And from that association, from hearing them speaking the Bhagavat, I'm sure maybe Narada Muni didn't understand it all, highly elevated discussions, but serving them, serving the devotee, and taking the remnants of the devotees, he became Narada Muni, who was the most revered devotee as far as Krishna is concerned. So this is the remedy. This is the medicine that we really need to take regularly, is to serve the devotees and take prasadam, take the remnants of the devotees, and try to be submissive and follow the instructions of the spiritual master, so that he will be pleased and Krishna will be pleased. So there's also a little bonus here at the end of the commentary. And it's really very encouraging, because it's not that we get a promotion just once, or we get a promotion twice, But this is an ongoing thing. It's not like we just have to do some special service and I get my promotion, I'm happy. But it actually keeps going on and on. Let's see if I see it, please. It says, and the combination of these two bhagavats will help the neophyte devotee to make progress on and on. So there is no limit. There's not a limit to the progress we can make in Krishna consciousness. If we are regular and steady in our services. So that means we have to take the service and the instructions of the spiritual master very seriously. Prabhupada said, even the teeny tiny ones, all the instructions. And then that heart will get cleaned out. It might take time. Some of us might be getting a little impatient after so many years of doing this process. You're wondering, okay, when's it gonna happen, you know? But it is happening. Otherwise, we wouldn't see the results. You don't see the forest because of the trees, something like that. But if you look at this whole worldwide movement, that this remedy is affecting patients with heart conditions all over the world in all different degrees of severity, their hearts are changing. We see people all over the world, their habits are going away. People in the outskirts of different continents have never even visited before have received the Bhagavat, have received Prabhupada's books, have started chanting Hare Krishna, and their bad habits are going away, their behavior is changing, their life's changing, and they're receiving that mercy from the pure devotee. So this process is extremely potent. We have to have that faith, and that faith will help us to be patient. And if we want to maybe speed it up a little bit, we can not only be steady, but even more enthusiastic in all the services and in all the practices that we do during the day. So these are a few thoughts. It's a wonderful verse, this whole section, yesterday's verse also, about hearing and chanting and receiving the mercy of the spiritual master. So maybe some of you would like to add a little something. Okay, Dharmaraj.
Nothing to add, but I was thinking that you were talking about how it's affecting, that this movement, the preaching, is affecting the hearts of so many people around the world. So I just thought of our statistics that after 53 years of this Krishna consciousness movement, we have over 9 million followers worldwide. So that's like a remarkable growth compared to many other religious movements. And as far as initiated devotees, over 128,000, something like that.
You know what Prabhupada would say? Double it.
Double it, okay. So in this verse, talks about